Welcome back to True Crime Brewery's 12 Beers of Christmas, and this is number 10, so we're really getting close.
Almost there.
Yep. And I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick, in case you guys didn't know.
Right. Okay, so we're going to do a 5-star review, a beer, and then we're going to talk about the Covina Massacre, which happened in 2008.
On Christmas.
On Christmas, a Christmas crime. Okay, you're ready for the 5-star review?
I'm ready.
Love This Podcast by H. Brogan. I love the way this husband and wife interact with one another. I honestly hate beer and would skip through the beer review, but then I found myself wanting to listen to Dick describe them. Who knew beer could be so intricate? I've been binging on this for a week. Most of the cases are cases I've heard about, but the way they pick the story apart, it is just the best. Thank you so much. Keep up the awesome work.
Thank you so much. That was great.
Yeah. H. Brogan, welcome to the brewery.
Yeah, even though you hate beer.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Some people do. It's all right. It happens.
It does.
Yeah.
Not everybody loves beer.
That's true. But most people do. And speaking of beer, what have you got there? What have you brought along?
Today we have another Belgian beer.
I like Belgian beers.
Yes, they're pretty cool.
They make a good beer in Belgium.
This is St. Bernardus Christmas Ale, which is brewed by St. Bernardus Brewery in Watou, Belgium. The Christmas Ale is a quad. We know that those are usually pretty big, bold, malty beers. This one is a medium brown color. Again, some red highlights. Got a really thick tan head, beautiful looking head. It has an aroma of dark fruit and sort of not a candy cane, spun sugar type of stuff.
Cotton candy?
Cotton candy, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
So a rich, malty, dark fruit flavor, some anise, which is pretty cool, and a smidge of spice. It's a medium-bodied, very creamy, sipping ale. Try it.
I will. Okay, let's open it.
Let's take them on down.
Do we have one or two?
We have one.
One big one?
One 750 ml bottle.
Okay, let's split it.
Of course.
Okay.
You know I'll always share my beer with you.
I know you do. All right. Let's head down to the quiet end. I'll take the glasses. You take the bottle.
I got the bottle.
Okay.
And look, Santa's back.
Oh, yeah.
We can go sit with him, maybe.
He's not alone, though.
I know. He's got his two good-looking helpers with him.
Yeah, well. Maybe they've got all the toys made and they're celebrating.
Well, I think they must be. You know, tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
Right.
So he's got to be ready to work.
Right, but right.
He does look pretty jolly tonight, doesn't he?
He does. He's probably getting excited. And tomorrow he can't be drinking because he's going to be driving.
Right. He's got many stops to make tomorrow.
Yes.
So, party tonight, Santa.
That's right. Let's go sit by him.
Okay.
Okay. So, 2008.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, the Covina Massacre. So, Christmas Eve night, we've got this guy, Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, who actually put on a Santa suit and headed over to a party at his former in-law's place.
Right.
So, sounds like he could be doing something good there, right?
Well, yeah, except for the weapons and the homemade flamethrower that he has with him.
Right, and the huge amounts of rage.
Lots.
Yeah.
So I guess we can surmise that the Santa suit was maybe to gain entrance.
That's what I'm guessing, yeah.
Because if he showed up as himself, nobody was going to let him in.
Right. Yeah, but I don't think that would have stopped him.
No, probably not.
No. And instead of bringing presents, he brought a homemade flamethrower. I don't know how you do that. And four guns.
Well, he was an engineer. I guess you could figure out or look up on the internet somehow how to make a flamethrower.
Right.
Although, as we'll see, it probably did malfunction a little.
Yeah, but I don't think he cared too much. And this was kind of a suicide mission, I think.
Well, not really.
No?
No. I have an idea.
Okay. Let me hear it.
Well, there was another, he arrived in a rental car.
Okay.
Right? And there was another rental car parked by his ex-wife's lawyer's house.
Okay.
So, and with a map of Mexico and blah, blah. So my theory is that he was going to show up, kill everybody, and take off and drive to the lawyer's house, kill the lawyer, hop in the rental car, and head to Mexico.
Okay.
But when the flamethrower went off, after he'd done the shooting, doused everything with the jet fuel from the flamethrower, and it either lit prematurely or something happened. This guy, Pardo, was severely burned. He had third-degree burns on a lot of his body. So I think he had to change plans. He realized that there was no way he was going to escape with this, so he went to his brother's house and killed himself.
Okay.
But that's a long story told short. So let's fill it in a little more.
Okay.
So But I don't think it was a suicide mission to begin with. I think it was a purely rage-driven mission to kill as many of his ex-wife's family as possible.
Right. Well, he also had bought a plane ticket to Canada, so was that just to mislead people, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it wasn't. Maybe the car at the lawyer's house was to mislead people. But I think whatever it was, his plan was to escape somewhere.
Okay. Well, he arrived at the house around 11:30 p.m., and this was Christmas Eve, right? A Christmas Eve party?
Almost midnight of Christmas morning.
Yeah. So he's in the Santa suit. He knocks on the door, and this was at his former in-law's house. So were they divorced? Was the divorce final?
Divorce was final.
Okay. So his former in-law's house. And there were about 25 people there. And he had this gift-wrapped package in his hands. And that was where he held the homemade flamethrower. He had that in one hand, and then he had a 9mm semi-automatic handgun in the other hand. And then he also had three additional 9mm semi-automatic guns in his possession.
Yeah, he was armed.
Yes.
And then he had a couple hundred rounds of ammunition. So he wasn't going there as a friendly person.
No, no, no. Now, when the door opened, he fired the handgun at this 8-year-old daughter of Letitia Yusufovsky, and she was the sister of Sylvia Pardo. Sylvia Pardo was the ex-wife, right?
Right.
Okay. So it was kind of his niece,
yes,
right? It would have been his niece.
That's his niece.
Wow. So she comes happily to the door, I guess, seeing Santa Claus. She runs to greet him, and he fires and injures her face, but thank goodness it didn't kill her. But from what I've heard, she was really damaged, very disfigured by this.
Yeah.
And then police also speculate that he stood over and pointedly executed some people using the other handguns.
Yeah. I mean, they figured that his ex-wife and her parents died by shooting.
Yeah.
And there are some other victims that died in the fire.
There's a list of who died of what. Yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 people died, right?
Right.
Wow. So this was a mass murder, obviously.
Yeah. But, you know, the other hand, if there's 25 people there, that's a lot of people that escaped.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, that's true. But some of them were injured as well. That 9 people doesn't include the injured.
Right.
And I would say that this little girl was injured to a point where it really affected her life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, after the shootings, he unwrapped the big package that contained the flamethrower, and he used it to spray racing fuel, gasoline, to set the home ablaze. So 3 were wounded, 9 were killed.
Right.
The 8-year-old girl who was shot in the face had severe but non-life-threatening injuries. A 16-year-old girl was shot and wounded in the back, and a 20-year-old woman suffered a broken ankle jumping out of the second-floor window. That's a brave thing to do, but
sure
I think it's a smart thing to do. There was one survivor who called the authorities during the attack after escaping to a neighbor's house, and the resulting fire went approximately 40 to 50 feet high, and it took 80 firefighters and an hour and a half to extinguish it. Very intense fire.
Well, yeah, it was fueled by gas. Holy cow.
Yeah, and I think there were also bullets in there that kept going off, so they couldn't really go near the house.
Right.
Which is terrifying. So after the attack, he put on his street clothes and drove his Dodge Caliber rental car to his brother's house, about 30 miles away. And that's where he was found dead. He'd shot himself. And his brother wasn't in the home at the time.
No, his brother was out of town.
Yeah.
But the reports were talking about how the Santa suit, I mean, he set himself on fire when the fuel from the flamethrower went up.
Yes, he did. Third-degree burns on his arms, at least.
And burns on his legs. I don't know if they were third degree, but significant burns on his extremities. Burns enough that the Santa suit kind of melted into his flesh.
Oof.
So he must have been in considerable pain.
Yes. Well, he deserved it.
Well, yes.
Yes.
But I think that's when he realized his plan wasn't going to work.
Right, right. Okay, well, it was initially believed that he intended to flee to Canada by plane because he'd bought an airline ticket on a flight on Air Canada. But then they discovered the flight itinerary on Northwest Airlines was from Los Angeles to Moline, Illinois, with a layover in Minnesota. So he'd called days before to tell his high school friend that he was planning to visit. But investigators were unsure if he intended to actually make this visit or if the flight was to fool them.
Right, yeah.
And I would think that that one was to fool them, because he's not going to go visit a friend after he does this. People are going to be looking for him.
One would think.
Yeah. But I guess he visited this friend before in October, so just a couple months beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So, suffering from these third-degree burns on his arms, he decided to go against his initial plan, maybe?
That's what I think.
Yeah. But he did have $17,000 in cash cling-wrapped to his legs inside a girdle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think he had more guns, too, didn't he?
Yeah. He had four handguns that were empty and at least 200 rounds of ammunition also.
Jeez.
That was in the car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the car at the brother's house.
And the car was booby-trapped.
Right, right. It was parked a block from his brother's house, and it had been rigged with remnants of his Santa suit that would detonate the car with black powder if removed.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder how they knew that.
I don't know. Well, it did go off. I mean, I read that they had a bomb squad there.
Oh, okay.
And they were trying to defuse it.
But how did they even know there was a bomb in the car? Or they were just being
careful? I don't know if they were super cautious or if there was a note or something.
Okay.
But it went off, but it didn't do any damage. So.
Okay.
That was good. And then they found the car in front of the lawyer's house, the other car.
Right.
Rental car. And they were worried that that was booby-trapped also. But it wasn't.
It wasn't. So he was probably going to use that to get away.
Probably.
So
But the interesting thing is that it was parked near the lawyer of his ex-wife.
Well, yeah. I'm sure. Let's go back to the motive here a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So what was his motive?
Besides pure hatred?
Yeah. Well, where did the hatred stem from? Let's go back a little ways.
Well, we know that they'd been married for a couple of years. Right.
Okay, yeah.
Although the marriage quickly turned bad.
Yeah, so it says he met Sylvia Orzo in 2004. And this was in 2008, so they'd known each other about 4 years.
Right. They'd been married in January of 2006.
Okay.
And by December of 2007, she was opting out of the marriage.
Yeah, it was finalized December 18th, so just a week before the massacre.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was in desperate financial straits.
Now, why was that? Because he went to a polytech school. He worked at the Jet Propulsion Lab. Seems like he had a good job.
He did, but he was fired.
Oh. What was he fired
for? And he was fired for embezzlement or falsifying invoices. There was some monetary thing. So he was fired. He didn't get unemployment.
And
then he's getting divorced or has gotten divorced.
Right.
And he owes his ex-wife a chunk of change. I think he's supposed to pay her $1,800 a month in spousal support.
Yeah, but they wouldn't still make him do that once he lost his job.
Oh, how naive are you?
They can't do that if you don't have a source of income. They have to base it on your income.
He still had some income because he had 14 grand strapped to his body.
Well, he might have had some savings, but I don't think he had any income.
Well, all I'm saying is this is what the court ruled in terms of the divorce. He was going to pay her $1,800 a month in spousal support.
Okay.
He was to pay her $10,000 lump sum at the time of divorce. And here's the worst part. She got custody of the dog, too.
Oh, well, that'll put you over the edge. Wonder what kind of dog it was.
It's an Akita.
I'm not a big fan. They're cute, but I've heard they can be a little aggressive.
They can be.
Isn't that what OJ had, or the neighbor? OJ's ex-wife had it at the... That's the dog that barked during the OJ murder, when he murdered Nicole. And
I guess it didn't bark enough.
No, but it did bark. I remember witnesses heard it bark.
Well,
anyway, I don't know.
So I think, you know, besides the acrimonious divorce, and I think that's a polite way of putting it, it sounds like they just despised each other. So they're divorced. They hate each other. He has no money. He has no job. Things don't look so good.
No. He was fired back in July, so he'd been without a job for a few months.
Right.
And I guess we know how he was spending his time.
Yeah.
Yeah, planning this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some speculation that the divorce may have been caused by Pardo concealing his child from a previous relationship from Sylvia.
Well, that, I think, could play a role, because this wasn't just any child. This kid, while under his care, Pardo's care, almost drowned in a swimming pool accident and was severely brain damaged. The mother of the child had to sue Pardo's insurance company to get some money to set up a trust fund to help care for the kid. And Pardo, according to the mother of the child, never gave 1 cent in support.
Oh, so that's why he would be hiding it. And so she wouldn't know he was being a cheapskate and deadbeat
so
father.
So I think if his new wife found out this stuff, that certainly puts a damper on the marriage, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, according to one of Sylvia's friends, they wed in January of 2006, but grew apart soon afterward. Mr. Pardo refused to open a joint account with her, and she didn't like that. And then he also expected his wife to take care of her own 3 children with her own finances.
Oh, they were kids.
Yep, she had 3 children.
She had kids.
Yep.
Okay. So, and she certainly wasn't the major breadwinner. I mean, they had a combined income of $150,000 or so a year.
Okay.
He made $125,000 or so. So she made...
Very little.
Very little. So I can see where you'd get a little prickly about that I'm not opening a joint checking account with you, and oh, by the way, you got to take care of all your kids' expenses.
Yeah. Sounds like maybe the father of those kids wasn't doing a lot for them.
Probably not. But neither was he.
No. So that was lousy. So during the divorce proceedings, Bruce had confided to a friend that his wife was, quote, taking him to the cleaners, end quote. And in July, Pardo got fired for billing false hours, and that's when the court suspended the support payments due to job hardship. So there you go. He didn't have to pay while he was unemployed.
Right. Okay.
He had paid her $10,000 as part of the divorce settlement.
So the spousal support payments was waived once the divorce was finalized, because like you said, he didn't have a job.
Right.
But he did have to pay her $10,000, and he had to give her the wedding ring that was fairly valuable, and the dog.
Right. So this just shows how petty people can be over money, huh?
He got the house.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't have a job to pay the mortgage, and it was heavily mortgaged.
Sure, but in the big picture, with people and lives, this is little stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, a rational person would look at that and say, this is little stuff.
Right.
I don't think he was a rational person.
No.
Right?
No, of course not.
So he's looking at it and thinking he's just totally ruined.
Yeah, it seems like he's kind of ruminating in his own rage.
Yeah.
He was complaining to friends that Sylvia was living with her parents, she wasn't paying rent. She was spending lavishly on a luxury car, going on gambling trips to Las Vegas, meals at fine restaurants, massages, golf lessons. This doesn't sound like the kind of money that would give her all these privileges.
No.
No, he wasn't giving her that much money.
Well, he only did it for a little while.
Yeah, right, and it stopped.
Yeah, because he lost his job.
Right. So the victims, let's just say who the victims were. So we had Sylvia Pardo. She was 43, and she was the ex-wife, and she died of a gunshot wound. And then Alicia Ortega was Sylvia Pardo's mother, and she died of a gunshot wound. And also her father, Joseph Ortega, died of multiple gunshot wounds. So this has pretty much taken out her whole family. Seems like he was aiming at certain people. He wasn't just aiming at any guests.
No, it looks like he was targeting people.
He's getting the people closest to her.
Because he got her sister, or one of her sisters also, right?
Yeah, the mother was 70, the father was 80. They both died of gunshot wounds. And then in the fire, Charles Ortega, who was Sylvia Pardo's brother, died. Sherry Lynn Ortega, who was Charles Ortega's wife. And then James Ortega, who was Sylvia Pardo's brother.
Another brother.
Yeah, he was 51.
So he got his ex-wife, her mother, her father, her two brothers.
Yeah.
One of the brothers' wives.
Both of the brothers' wives,
because
the next
wives.
One is Teresa Ortega, who was James Ortega's wife. She was 52. And then Alicia Ortega Ortiz, who was Sylvia Pardo's sister. So
well,
her two brothers, her sister, two sister-in-laws, and her parents.
Targeting people.
The whole family.
Yeah.
And Michael Andre Ortiz, who was 17, and he was Alicia, Sylvia Pardo's sister's son, so Sylvia's nephew.
Right.
So all those people died in the fire.
Yeah, and here's another interesting thing that I read somewhere.
Okay.
That his mother, Pardo's own mother, was supposed to be at this party. And she was on his hit list because he felt like she was taking the side of his ex-wife.
Wow.
So he was going to kill her too, but she was ill and didn't go to the party. So she survived.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. She might have been better off if she didn't. It sounds like a lot of shit to live with for the rest of her life.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
to know that her own son killed all those people, it's a lot to live with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that Sylvia's kids weren't there, because she had three kids who were probably younger. Doesn't mention them in this article,
yeah.
But...
So I don't know if... I would think they were probably there, because everybody was there, right?
Yeah, maybe they were there.
But they escaped.
Right.
Or at least they didn't get killed.
Yeah, and they were left parentless.
Yeah.
So he ended up killing himself, so there's no trial. Okay. You have anything else to add?
No, just that strikes me as a particularly sad case.
Yeah, this seems like one of those things you hear about when people go back to where they work and do something like this.
Yeah, going postal.
Yeah, it does seem like that. But this was definitely planned out for quite a while, it looks like.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, just a few little tidbits from popular culture. So, Boombox Poets recorded a song in 2010, 2 years later, called Santa Syndrome, and that's loosely based on references to the massacre and also to the people's lives that were involved in the massacre. And then in the 2012 film Silent Night, a character tells the story of a man who put on a Santa suit and used a homemade flamethrower to attack a Christmas party being attended by his ex-wife. So that definitely sounds like it was based on this.
I can't get much closer.
Huh? Yeah.
I don't think I saw that Silent Night movie.
No, I've wanted to see it, and it's always kind of scared me. Something about Christmas. I do watch horror films. Something about the mixture of the two.
Yeah.
I don't like
You're not supposed to see that at Christmas.
No, at Christmas I watch the Hallmark movies and stuff.
That's the kind of stuff we watch at Christmas.
Right, and then Halloween, horror. But when you mix Santa with murder, I don't like that.
No, we don't go for that.
See, look at Mike. He's nodding. He doesn't like it either. He wants Santa to have a good rep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anything else?
I'm done.
Okay. So I just want to say quickly that we do have an Amazon link. There's still time left to use it to do a little Christmas shopping. Not much time, I know. But that's tygrabber.com/Amazon. And it doesn't have to be Christmas to use it. Anytime you're shopping on Amazon, you can use our link. And that helps support us.
Maybe you're doing some New Year's shopping.
Right.
Or birthdays that are coming up.
Yep. Or if you get an Amazon gift card, you can still go through our link and spend it.
You can.
Yep. If you don't remember the link, just go to our website and just click on Shop Amazon and support Tygrabber, and it'll take you right there.
You'll be right there.
Yep. Also, we love to get your 5-star reviews. Like we talked about last night, We've gotten quite a few of them lately, and we've gone from 4 stars to 4.5 stars, which makes me really happy, but our goal is still to get to 5 stars, so if anybody has a chance to help us out with that, that would be much appreciated.
Enough of the shameless pandering.
Oh, sorry. All right, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. It's Christmas Eve, and we're going to do the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Case that's fascinated people for, what, 20 years?
20 years. It'll be the 20th anniversary, actually. It was 1996.
And there's still stuff going on about it.
There's recent stuff that I've taken note of and that we'll discuss.
Okay.
And then if,
looking,
you know,
forward.
If it's interesting, we might do a full episode later.
Okay.
Although I know it's well covered.
It certainly is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have a good night. We'll talk to you on Christmas Eve.
Next time. See ya.
Bye-bye.